Okay, Galatians chapter 3, around verse 26, so we left off. Okay, as we pick up here, okay, the first thing I want you to do is make sure you have your highlighter and you highlight the word faith. Okay, so we talked about, last time we talked about faith, okay, and the faith, okay, and that there's three manifestations of faith, okay, as concerning the gift, okay, and the fruit of faith, and also the doctrine of faith, the doctrine of our persuasion. Okay, we see the Apostle Paul made distinctions of this when he wrote this epistle here. Okay, as he said, is concerning the faith. Okay, and on chapter 2. Okay, that is concerning the just shall live by faith, and Galatians chapter 3, verse 11. And also in chapter 2, he talks about as concerning the faith being that doctrine. Okay, now he continues this theme also in chapter 3, in verse 23, okay, as concerning the faith, verse 23. Okay, and that is that the faith has to do with the doctrine of Christ, the doctrine of our persuasion. Okay, that new commandment Jesus spoke of, and which the Apostle Paul John also made mention of in 1 John. Okay, a new commandment I give unto you. Okay, not an old commandment, but a new commandment I give unto you. So the old commandment has to do with, okay, the doctrine of Moses. Okay, the new commandment has to do with the doctrine of Christ. So when the Apostle Paul talks about the faith, he's not talking about, okay, that law of Moses and precept. Okay, as concerning tithing, baptisms, circumcision, and communions. Okay, all those things which concern the Levitical priesthood and that of that first Passover. Okay, that first Passover was initiated by Moses. The last Passover was initiated by Christ because he fulfilled the law and the prophets in himself. Everything that was spoken of him, okay, through the prophets and Moses and the law, okay, as concerning the writings in the Torah, everything that was written concerning Christ. Okay, but everything that was revealed concerning the pattern, okay, was in part until Christ would come and bring its fullness, bring all things in conclusion unto himself. Okay, so that we have one point of contact for our faith, okay, and not numerous points of contact, okay, as concerning that first law. Okay, which law only addressed the frailty of man, because under that law of Moses, death was present. Okay, and we can see that death was present as concerning the slaughtering of the beasts there. Okay, the ox, okay, the ram, the lamb, okay, the he-goat, okay, and also the killing of the birds, okay, the turtle doves, okay, and young pigeons. We can see that that death was present in those things. Okay, and what if death was present in those things, okay, then our faith could not be made perfect. But now our faith is made perfect through Jesus Christ. Okay, and the conscience being purged, okay, we're able to reflect him, okay, and in perfection. So our faith is made perfect through Jesus Christ. Okay, so we talked about last time we talked about that law. Okay, now the baptism of the law, okay, being temporal, okay, cannot make the comers thereunto perfect. Okay, again, as Paul said in Hebrews, as pertaining to the conscience, because they had to offer sacrifices for sins once a year. Okay, which shows the cycle of death and of death. Okay, but now that we have come unto Christ and that our repentance has been sealed, nothing to be repented of, we can go on to perfection, as the Apostle Paul also brings out in the book of Hebrews, okay, as concerning going on to perfection. But we cannot go on to perfection if we're going to continue to retrieve the seed from the soil. Okay, once the seed has been planted with the soil and we go back to the law for a perfection, then we're retrieving the seed from its soil again, okay, and it shows that our labor has been accursed of God. as the Apostle Paul also brings out in Hebrews. Okay. But that which bears thorns and briars is rejected at 9 to cursing, whose end is to be burned. Okay. So if people try to forge a relationship with God, through the practicing of that first covenant, then the presence of death, will continue to restrict their faith, because faith cannot be made perfect with the presence of death. But now we have received grace for grace, and having received grace for grace, our cycles are now on life and the life in the absence of death, as Jesus said, as concerning Satan's presence, that the prince of this world comes and has nothing in me. That is concerning the sacrifice which I'm to offer in myself. Even though I'm going to go to the cross, yet I lay down my life, I have power to take it up again. Shows that death did not dominate Jesus, and that at no time did the spotless lamb become blemished in the offering of a sacrifice. From the time of his arrest in the garden, to the time of his trial, to the time of his being mocked, rejected, his crucifixion, and through the whole process, through this whole process, not at one time did the spotless Lamb of God become blemished, with Adam's aspirations, because at the very end he said, "Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit," which shows again that everything has now been completed, in the time frame, which God has assigned it. And the time frame that it was assigned has to do with the same amount of time that Adam was in paradise. Now he was in the garden for 7 years, but he was in that location only for 6 hours. And so Jesus hung on the cross for 6 hours. And then when Adam sinned, even the sun hid his face, but the moon, of course, did not conceal his face, and that's why God has judged the moon, as concerning the seven parts, that the sun will shine, seven times greater. So we can see the parallel in that, from the time of Adam in the garden, the darkness that was upon the land because of his transgression, and also the time when the sun again concealed his face, and also the moon, when Jesus died on the cross, which shows the iniquity of man, man's transgression. But again, Jesus rose from the dead, which shows that the sacrifice was accepted of God. Now, having said all that, we come here now to this next verse, as concerning our justification. So, wherefore, law was our schoolmaster, in verse 24, and I'm going to bring up here to date. The law was only a schoolmaster. That is to point to the things of the Spirit, to bring us into Christ. The law, which addressed the flesh, was to point us to that which is greater, the Spirit. And that's why Jesus says, my Father is greater than I. Because I'm in the restrictions of the flesh, because I have restricted myself, when in the expressions of the flesh, not to pursue the aspiration, the signature of man, but in obedience to God, my Father is greater than I. This is what Jesus was teaching his apostles. If you want to enter my fullness, you must be crucified with me. Which Jesus also told them. As concerning that, unless a grain of wheat fall on the ground, it abides by itself. But it falls on the ground and then it dies. And upon its death, it brings forth a greater offspring. And upon my death, I will bring forth a greater offspring. Which is going to be you, which also Isaiah prophesied again, that he shall see his seed, and he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. In other words, because of his resurrection, Jesus has direct involvement, within the process of our salvation, in nurturing us as sons of God, and to bring us into fullness of that inheritance, which is promised to us, which first promise fell upon Abraham. It was upon Abraham that the revelation was first known as concerning the seed that would proceed from him. Okay, kings will be born of him. Okay, now this was revealed to Abraham. It wasn't revealed to Noah, and it wasn't revealed to Enoch. Now, even though Enoch saw that revelation when he was in the seventh heaven, okay, it wasn't speaking of his seed as the carnal seed, okay, as it was applied to Abraham. See, through a carnal seed, through your seed, through flesh, okay, a ruler will come, okay, and out of him will come many kings, okay, as we see in the book of Revelation. Okay, also, many kings were in his hand. Okay, so wherefore, as a prophet also brought out about many kings springing from him. Say, wherefore law was our schoolmaster, and this was to point to things of spirit, and as to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. So there's the word faith again. Okay, and of course we talked about the intuitive faith and the revelatory faith. Okay, now intuitive faith, okay, which is not of the spirit, okay, but rather the intuitive faith is born of the moral code. Okay, the moral code, okay, because Thomistic law is born of the moral code. The Thomistic law is a child of the moral code, and from that also comes intuitive faith. Okay, revelatory faith has to do with that which is granted to us by angels. Intuitive faith, okay, is that which has created the imagination of man. Okay, the imagination creates a form of relationship, okay, through precept. Okay, even though he's consciousness, his consciousness of a creator, okay, doesn't dictate a relationship. Okay, it also doesn't promise an inheritance. Okay, a relationship with the imagination, okay, does not birth, okay, the inheritance. It's the revelatory faith, okay, that produces and promises the inheritance. Okay, because one, the intuitive faith is a projection of one's aspiration, where revelatory faith has to do with the reflection, okay, of promise. Okay, now, and Abraham gave us that pattern, revelation, resistance, and reward. Okay, and this was fulfilled in Jesus Christ, okay, but in a record of himself. Okay, not that which is of temporal things, but that which is of eternal things. So even Abraham, our father, okay, look for a city who has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. The city is God himself. Okay, the light of his bosom, okay, and which is which also has to be the place of his throne. Okay, that is the inheritance of the righteous. Now Abraham did not look for an earthly kingdom, okay, even though God made a promise to him as concerning his flesh. Okay, and that which was assigned to his flesh was only temporal until Christ would come. So that, and in fact, Jesus, okay, upon his ministry, did not promise his apostles, okay, any personal real estate, and at this present time. But Jesus did make a very interesting statement to his apostles. He says, as concerning houses and brethren. Okay, and houses and brethren was not assigned to them at this present time, okay, as the first eighth week, okay, but it was assigned to the time of the ninth week, and will be perpetual in the third covenant in the tenth week. So we can see that Jesus, by ministering and stewarding his apostles, okay, was sharing this knowledge with them as concerning times and seasons. Okay, times and seasons has to do with the weeks, okay, the weeks of Enoch. Okay, so Jesus is making references as concerning his present time, okay, and as concerning that which he assigned to his apostles, okay, and preaching this gospel, okay, and even assigned other revelations, okay, which would be fulfilled in the time of their weeks. All right, now in verse 25, and after that faith came, is come, we are no longer a schoolmaster, okay, as concerning dictating the moral code. Okay, the law dictated the moral code. Okay, because all it did was point out to us, or to bring to our attention, our frailties. Okay, our frailties, which means that law of Moses brought many restrictions, Okay, it brought many restrictions as concerning the dietary law. Okay, dress codes. Okay, even hair lengths. Okay, or the Nazirite, the vow of the Nazirite. Okay, it had everything to do with that, and also restricted you to marriage only within the tribes. Okay, and trade. Everything was restricted to that law because you were tethered to the hub of the temple. Okay, you were tethered to the hub of the temple. But now Jesus Christ is the temple. Okay, because we are now we also carry that temple within us. Okay, those that as the Apostle Paul brings out, okay, that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which means God now takes residence within you. Okay, and his praise will be throughout all the earth. Okay, which means in these temples we carry his virtue to the uttermost parts of the earth. Okay, and the full disclosure of this will come about during the millennium. Okay, and also the okay, the unrestrictedness of this will come in the third covenant. Okay, where death is when death and hell is cast in the lake of fire. Okay, now verse 26. For you are all the children of God by faith in Jesus Christ. Now this is interesting, that the Apostle Paul is assigning us a new birth. Okay, our first birth, okay, which was of flesh, was very temporal and accompanied with death. But our second birth is eternal and accompanied with life himself, the Prince of Life, the Prince of Peace. Okay, so in verse 26, for you are all the children of God. Okay, that is, those that are born of the Spirit are now tutored by the angels. Okay, but those which are born of the flesh are tutored by those, okay, which education is restricted to the wisdom of this world. Okay, the education of the flesh is restricted to the flesh, but the education of the Spirit, okay, is that of our new birth. For you are all the children of God by faith. Now, it shows that our second birth, okay, removes us from the origin of flesh, the origin, our true origin, which is in the bosom of the Father. Okay, that we are not looking for the purpose of life in the soil, okay, or in archaeology, or anything that has to do with discovering our past. Okay, the discovery of our past, okay, of the flesh is restricted to the soil. Okay, that we're trying to find, okay, you say, our purpose in life by the soil. Okay, but our true purpose in life now is is that of our true origin, which is in the bosom of our Father. So we have to be re-educated to things of the Spirit. Now, when you re-educate the things of the Spirit, we're walking by a new rhythm, which is the rhythm of the Spirit, which Paul brings out earlier, the just shall live by faith. Okay, also quoting Habakkuk 2:4. Okay, the just shall live by faith. The lifestyle of those that truly believe, okay, is hubbed to this new temple. Okay, not hubbed, okay, to the temple of Jerusalem, but hubbed to the temple which is above, which is Christ, the holy city, New Jerusalem. So Abraham, he also had his expectations set upon a different country, okay, in a different city, okay, which was above. And we see that in Hebrews chapter 11, okay, whose expectation was set upon those things. For he looked for a city who has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Okay, our design is to reflect our Creator, okay, not that of our earthly parents, but that of our heavenly parent, okay, our Father above. Okay, and that's why he says, "For you are the children of God." Okay, we're the offspring of the Spirit now by faith in Jesus Christ. Okay, and he says here, by faith, he's talking about is concerning that fruit which is born through Him. The fruit which is born through Him, Christ Jesus. Okay, and the fruit which is born of Him, okay, assigns us that inheritance because we overcome. He that overcomes shall inherit all things. And I will be his God, and he shall be my son, and you shall be my sons and daughters. Okay, as the prophet said. Okay, verse 27, for as many as you have been baptized into Christ. Now here's an interesting thing. Okay, the Apostle Paul is introducing another element here. But this is the element, though, he was speaking of all along. Okay, a different baptism. Okay, not that first baptism, which again was accompanied by death, as concerning the many ablutions of washings. Okay, the rituals which that priesthood of Aaron had to go through in the preparatory stage before he could even execute his priestly office. Okay, and it was Moses that initiated this. Okay, Moses initiated this pattern in the priesthood of Aaron, in the Levitical priesthood, as also the book of Hebrews brings out. And we can see also it was mentioned there in the book of Exodus and Deuteronomy and Leviticus. This baptism is a baptism of this fire, as was also prophesied by John the Baptist. Okay, I baptize with you water unto repentance, Matthew said, in his account, but he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Okay, this fire baptism began a day of Pentecost. Okay, but this is the time at that point of Pentecost, we were engrafted with him. Okay, and being engrafted with him, we're engrafted into the true vine. Okay, being engrafted in the true vine, okay, that which was we have received on that day of Pentecost, okay, is perpetual and to carry us into the very light of God, okay, and the fullness of that baptism, okay, which is the holy city, New Jerusalem. Okay, the baptism of water, they brought the children of Israel into a carnal destination, but the baptism of fire brings us into an eternal destination, okay, which is our Father's bosom, okay, which is in the holy city, New Jerusalem, okay, that which is above, the Mount Zion in heaven, not the Zion on earth, okay, which is subject to passage of time, okay, which is also subject to war, okay, and also subject to pillaging and destruction, okay, which we see in the destruction of the temple, and of course God manifested this, okay, of the destruction of the temple by Nebuchadnezzar, and its reconstruction through Ezra, and then its destruction again by the Romans, and its reconstruction again by the Antichrist. The Antichrist man who is going to come is going to again construct that temple, okay, on Mount Zion in Jerusalem, okay, which of course will be removed by the angels. Okay, when we come back to establish the true tabernacle, okay, and that which of Ezekiel's vision, okay, the millennial temple, okay, which of course will have its temporary use, and as there will be a new heavens and new earth, and the new heavens and new earth of course will be consumed by fire. Again, another baptism is introduced. The baptism of the Lord is introduced again, okay, completely sanctifying this dimension. Okay, the dimension of darkness will be replaced with the dimension of light. Okay, and of course, at that point, death and hell will have no longer any need. Okay, for in verse 27, for as many as you have been baptized in Christ. So underline the word baptized there. Okay, and again, this is of the holy knowledge of fire. Okay, this is a baptism which goes all the way back to Adam and Eve. Okay, this baptism was spoken, okay, of God to Adam, okay, and which Adam shared with his children. Okay, God will give us indeed a new baptism. Okay, this baptism, okay, begins with this knowledge which I'm granting to you. Okay, a baptism of fire. Okay, baptism, a holy knowledge. Okay, this holy knowledge is our baptism. Now, Jesus, that's why when Jesus spoke to his apostles, he says, now you are clean to the words which are spoken unto you. Okay, it's this baptism. And Jesus, after his resurrection, breathed on them, speaking of them, of this baptism. Receive you my baptism. Okay, a cleansing of fire. Okay, and this cleansing of fire, which I have granted to you, okay, you also will teach others, and they will be sanctified. Okay, as they are engrafted into me through your words, they that believe on me through you, your stewardship. We can see the apostolic governance here already being instructed and prepared, okay, by Jesus to his first century apostles, which tradition was lost during the sixth week but now restored in the second eighth week. Okay, preparing a people for the time when the Lord is going to receive us again to himself. Okay, but we're going to receive through this baptism, baptism of fire. Okay, now, from verse 27, for as many as you have been baptized into Christ, okay, not into water, but into Christ. Okay, but because of false education, okay, false education, that is the doctrine Nicolaitans, interpreted every word baptized in the scriptures as meaning or joined to that first covenant, water. Okay, and because they can see a certain pattern of water, they believe that that tradition has been carried forth through all scripture, or through all the writings of the apostles. Okay, but that's an error in thinking. Okay, because when the apostle Paul is speaking of this baptism here, okay, as he does in many other places, he's speaking of that spirit baptism of Christ. For as many as you have been baptized into Christ, see, baptized into him, okay, not into water, but into spirit. Now those that are baptized into Christ have put on Christ. That is a new priesthood. Okay, you've been baptized into a new priesthood, a priesthood of knowledge. Now this is after the order of Melchizedek. It is this tradition that is perpetual and be carried into the bosom of our Father. Okay, and that's why Jesus received the title of Melchizedek, for you are a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. See the word forever. Forever. This is a perpetual priesthood, okay, which my children will carry forth into all dimensions. Okay, a priesthood of cleansing, a priesthood of cleansing of fire. Okay, because we will also receive bodies of fire, bodies of light, so that we can carry on this holy tradition. Okay. All right. So he talks about this baptism. Okay, this baptism being of fire doesn't reflect the nature of man. Now we'll be reading about this in the next verse. Okay, as that water baptism. Water reflected the image of man, but fire reflects only the image of God. Okay, but the baptism of Christ only reflects the fire of his throne. Okay, because our God is a consuming fire. We only behold Christ with eyes of fire. Okay, and we can see this personification, okay, in the vision which our brother apostle the Apostle John, the first century, okay, saw there when he was in the vision of visions, and he saw our Lord in that vision of visions, okay, as his head itself was as white as wool, okay, and he had eyes of fire, okay, and he spoke as with a two-edged sword, okay, and he was clothed with a garment of white down to the feet, and what's interesting is that his feet were shod, okay, with bronze of fire, okay, which also shows that our walk with the Lord, okay, is not that which is of temporal things, but of eternal things. Okay, our walk is of fire, as also our words are of fire. Okay, and only those that have eyes of fire behold the eye of the Lord. Okay, those that have the eyes of flesh cannot behold the things of God. Okay, that's why we only see the things of the Spirit by the Spirit, as Paul brings out also in Corinthians. But he that is spiritual judges all things, and he himself is judged of no man. Okay, but that which is spiritual is spiritual. Okay, now this with this baptism we behold the Lord and we walk in his new priesthood, okay, the priesthood of fire. Okay, then he goes in verse 28. There is neither Jew nor Greek. See, it doesn't, that of his priesthood and his baptism, okay, does not carry any kind of gender with it. But the water does carry the baptism of gender. Okay, because only a male could function as a priest in a temple, Levitical priesthood. So the baptism of water carries a gender with it, the water carries the baptism of gender and flesh, but the fire carries neither. It carries only Christ. Okay, and that's what he says right here in the very end of that verse, in verse 28. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. Okay, because, again, it doesn't carry water, it carries fire. for you are all one in Christ, okay, in him, in his baptism. Okay, there's neither male nor female. There's neither bond nor free. All right, so here we carry the image of fire only, not the image of flesh, the image of which is of Adam, but the image of fire, which is the, which has to do with that of his throne, the image of Christ. Now, if we carry this image, this baptism, and this priesthood, then look what we have here. Now, if you don't carry this image, this baptism, and this priesthood, okay, then your hope is tethered to the things of this world. Okay, in other words, you have replaced faith with aspiration. You replaced truth with your own principle. Okay, and you're pursuing the things of this world in covetousness. Okay, but we have been all taught of God, okay, by the Spirit, okay, as concerning these things, that we are to replace our aspirations with faith. Okay, because that's the just shall live by faith, not by their aspiration any longer. The aspiration is found in the moral code. Because it wants to progress, it wants to propagate its own kind. Okay, each kind wants to propagate its own kind. Okay, that which is the flesh propagates the flesh, but that which is the Spirit propagates the Spirit, as we see here. You are children of God. Okay, so God is by the Spirit. Okay, we are being raised as children of God. Now, also Jesus made these distinctions. Okay, when he even spoke of as concerning raising up the stones of the brook. Okay, well, John the Baptist spoke about that. Okay, about the stones of the brook. Okay, that he's able to raise up children of these. Okay, not of your own aspirations. Okay, but by creative powers. Okay, I will create a new people, and that's what we are. By his powers, we are a new people. All right, for as many as you, I'll bring verse 27 again, for as many as you have been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ, a new priesthood. Okay, and we talked about verse 28. There is neither Jew nor Greek. Okay, there is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female, because the water carries those things, but the fire carries this. For you are all one in Christ. Okay? And our sacrifices in Christ Jesus, okay, continually reflect that, so that we have charity of fire. Okay, by this charity of fire, okay, we are bringing forth the virtue of God by faith in Jesus Christ. Okay, so we see the cycles of our growth, okay, are encouraged and nurtured by this priesthood, the priesthood of Jesus Christ. Okay, now if you be Christ's, that means by this new priesthood of fire, then are you Abraham's seed. Okay? And of course, when he says Abraham's seed, okay, which means those of promise, okay, and heirs according to the promise, being kings, okay, being kings of the God code. Okay, so underline the word promise there and put kings of the God code. Okay, when we were in flesh, which Apostle Paul says, which carries the motion of sin, okay, we are not carrying forth the heritage of fire, because the God code was dominated by death. Okay, because everything that Adam initiated and built in this dimension with the flesh perished with the flesh, ashes to ashes. Okay, as God prophesied to Adam, okay, out of the earth you came, and out of the earth you shall return. Okay, God accompanied the God code with death. Okay, and Adam, which would not walk by faith, not speaking of Adam, our first father, okay, but all those born of the flesh, those which are born of the flesh would not carry forth the tradition of faith, okay, but the tradition of the flesh would die in the flesh and would carry nothing with them into the next dimension. And because death dominated their understanding, they were called ignorant. And because death dominated the soul, they were called ungodly. Okay? And because death also consumed the flesh, okay, their sovereignty ended death. Okay? And when their sovereignty ended death, they were not assigned this promise as being kings of the God code. Being kings of the God code, we carry forth a tradition of our Father in heaven, okay, as concerning creating dimensions and creating life within those dimensions. Okay, so that we also would carry on those titles as our Father was appointed. Okay, being the King of Glory, Kings of Glory. That's why Jesus called King of Kings. Okay, and Lord of Lords. Okay, that we would carry on the traditions of our Father. Okay, and in these dimensions, everything would be tethered to us, tethered to the oath of our own soul, as we are also tethered of God, and tethered to the oath of His soul, which is Jesus Christ. So we carry on the tradition of life unto life, light unto life, fire unto fire, grace unto grace, doxology to doxology, eulogy to eulogy, okay, wisdom unto wisdom, and righteousness unto righteousness, sanctification unto sanctification. We carry on that tradition, the tradition of the throne, okay, throughout eternity. Okay. But with this promise that was made to Abraham, okay, we can see that these things were carried forth by promise. Okay, now that which is the Melchizedek wasn't promise. Okay, Melchizedek carried a pattern. Okay, carried a pattern, okay, which Christ also carried forth as Abraham's pattern. We can see two things joining together. You see this in the book of Hebrews. Okay, in Hebrews chapter 7. Okay, it brings this out, can show, which also reveals, okay, the greater. The Melchizedek priesthood is greater than that of a Levitical priesthood, because the Levitical priesthood was not going to continue by reason of death, but the Melchizedek priesthood continues on even to this day, okay, which shows the perpetualness. Jesus rose from the dead, okay, and he was assigned that calling. He was assigned that calling in the Melchizedek priesthood, okay, which has to do with a baptism of holy knowledge, right, which is which being perpetual, okay, is being perpetual. It is eternal, called the eternal knowledge. Okay, all right. Now in chapter 4, okay, we go on. Now I say, brethren, okay. Now I say that as understanding this concept, that the heir, okay, as long as he is a child, which is being being under that which is in training, okay, the child being in training differs nothing from the servant in his instruction, though he be Lord of all. Okay, even though in the former flesh we carry the image of death, nay, as all Adamites do at this present time, because the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. Okay, in this body we do groan. Okay, being burdened, okay, as the Apostle Paul brings out in Romans there. Okay, in the body we are being burdened, okay, because we are assigned these things for the purpose of our testing. Okay, so that in our flesh we look no differently than anybody else. Okay, but in the spirit there's a vast difference. Okay, as there's a vast differences between light and darkness. Okay, that's why we're called the children of light and children of the day, and not of the night nor of darkness, as Apostle Paul brings out in Thessalonians. So even though in our flesh we carry the image of death, in our soul we carry the image of life. Okay? But then in the third covenant, God will circumcise that power away, okay? So that God will again restore the power of our youth. Now I say that the heir, as long as he a child, differs nothing from a servant, okay? Though he be Lord of all. Okay, though he be Lord of all, okay, he's talking about here an assigned equal portion as a father's gift. As an assigned equal portion as his father's gift. Okay, that's why it's called the gift of eternal life. Okay, because God has assigned this to us as a reward of our faith. That's why every day we make the choices of faith. Okay, are we going to live by the power of the moral code and die, or are we going to live by the power of faith and live? Okay, this is the same challenges that Joshua put to the children of Israel. Choose this day whom you will serve. Okay, are you going to serve the gods of this world? Okay, or are you going to serve the true God? Okay, I put before you life and death. Therefore, choose life that you may live, you and your children. That means the things that you use will be perpetual. Okay, and our faith, which we choose to live by, is perpetual, now and forevermore. Okay, it's everlasting to everlasting. So in verse 2 here, but is under tutors and governors. On tutors and governors, which at this present time, the tutors are our angels, and the governors are those the stewards of his calling. They under tutors and governors. Okay, all of us are under the tutorship of angels. Okay, because we're tethered to the throne. We're under tutorship of angels. So underline the word tutor there. But is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. That is for the reward of the inheritance. Okay, so we see the word tutor right there. And of course, these things we experience every day. We're experiencing the tutorage and the tethering and the tutorage of angels every day. Okay, because we choose faith. Okay, we choose to live by faith. And living by faith shows that we are shouldering the responsibility of keeping his commandments. Okay, if we keep his commandments, then he is our propitiation for our sins. Okay, and we have access into the courts of the Lord because he is our advocate. Okay, because the Lord is teaching us, okay, court etiquette. Policy and procedure in the court of the Lord requires a gift. Okay, and our presence there, okay, is only granted by permission, okay, which Jesus grants to us abundantly because of our priesthood. Okay, because we are shouldering and taking on the yoke of Jesus' knowledge, which Jesus himself said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Take my yoke upon you, he says, and learn of me. Receive this new knowledge, the knowledge of this new covenant, new commandments, the new covenant, a new priesthood, a different origin and a new destiny, a destiny that I have prepared for you. As he said himself, in my Father's house are many mansions. In the bosom of my Father, okay, are many cities of refuge. Okay, and these cities of refuge I have appointed for you, because you are escaping the grip of death through me. Okay, because through me, okay, you are putting to death the flesh. Okay, and by putting to death the flesh, you must run to the city of refuge. If you don't run to the city of refuge, then you'll be overtaken by the revenger, which is Satan. Okay, and Satan will claim you to himself again and rule over you and destroy you. But if you're running to me, don't look back. Okay, don't look back. Run to the city of refuge. And when you gain entrance to the city through this tutorage, okay, there you will remain until the death of the high priest. Okay, but we have an eternal hope in Jesus Christ, so our high priest will never die. So the place of our residence is our eternal refuge. Okay, these are the things which he has granted to us. This is our gift of eternal life. Okay, our city of refuge, okay, which is the mansions of heaven, places of pleasure forevermore. Okay, where death cannot gain entrance. Okay, of course, in his temple and in the holy city, which is the mother of us all, okay, nothing can enter in but the redeemed of the Lord. And that's what we are. We are the redeemed through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Okay, now verse 2, but it's under tutors and governors at this time, until the time. Okay, at this time, until the time. That means appointed time. There is a selected time of fullness. Okay, and that's when we receive the fullness of a reward. So we must partake of his fullness to enter into his fullness. Okay, so that we would partake of him, okay, of his fullness, as the Apostle Paul also brings out in Ephesians, okay, Ephesians chapter 1, okay, which he also speaks of, which is his body, the fullness of him that fills all in all. Again, that's in Ephesians 1, 20, 23 here. Which is his body, the fullness of him that fills all in all. So as we partake of the fullness, we will enter into the fullness of the inheritance. Okay, but now as we partake of the fullness, he's only granting unto us, see, portions of himself. Okay, so that we're living, as he's granting portions of himself, okay, we are also tasting. This is called, the portion is a taste of the powers of the world to come. This is these are the things which we're living by at this present time. Okay, we are partaking of the table of the Lord. And partaking of the table of the Lord, okay, we're eating portions of Him. Okay, and this is what Jesus addressed to his apostles at the Last Supper, the Final Supper. Okay, completing the Passover that was appointed to Moses was fulfilled in Jesus Christ. And when it was fulfilled in Jesus Christ, Jesus put, okay, a perpetual promise within it. Eat of me and drink of me. Okay, but no longer of the carnal portion, but me as being the spiritual portion, okay, which is his body, the fullness of him that fills all in all. Okay, so we know in part, we prophesy in part, but that which is perfect to come, then that which is in part will be done away. That's when we enter the fullness of our Father, okay, the fullness of our inheritance. But properly, at this present time, okay, we're under the tutoring of angels and the governors of the stewardship callings, until the time appointed the Father. Okay. So now let's go to verse 3. So even so we, which I brought out earlier, see, when we were children, okay, still under that tutorage, we're in bondage until under the elements of the world, that is concerning the flesh. But when the fullness of the time was come, okay, which I spoke of earlier, okay, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman made under the law. Okay, now, why was he made under the law? To fulfill it. So that we no longer observe the law of Moses, we observe the law of Christ. We observe the law of grace and truth. Right? To redeem them, there's the word redeem. Okay, so the word redeem has to do with that he's bringing us back to a position of innocence. Okay, he's bringing us back to a position of innocence because innocence was lost upon the transgression of our first parents. Okay, but now Jesus, being that second Adam, is bringing us back into a position of innocence, okay, so that we now serve God in pureness of heart. And of course, Jesus said of that, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." Okay, by the eye of grace we behold His grace. By the eyes of flame, okay, we can see our Father's face. By the eyes of flame, we can behold the Father's face. Okay, because his name is written in our forehead. Okay, and they shall see his face, as was prophesied there, okay, and written about in the book of Revelation. To redeem them that were under the law. Okay, but the law was appointed only because of flesh and weakness, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Okay, so you might want to underline the word adoption. Okay, so because we're removed from one family and brought into another family, okay, and this adoption is by the Spirit. The adoption is by the Spirit. Okay, because you are sons, okay, under this new adoption, okay, God has sent forth the Spirit of a Son in your hearts, okay, crying, "Abba, Father." Okay, our language is changed because also our okay, our roots are changed. Okay, our first roots were of the world, of the soil, okay, and we learned our education was according to those traditions, okay, and everything followed that okay, that particular behavior, okay, but now we are learning a new behavior and a new tradition, okay, and a new language, okay, which is granted to us as a gift on the day of Pentecost. Which tradition we are also experiencing and tasting today, okay, a new language, okay, as we continue to pray in the Spirit, okay, using the tools of the Spirit, okay, say the gifts, the callings, the grace of God, prayer, preaching, prophecy, government, truth, and Spirit. Okay, these are things which God has granted to us, whereas we're now crying, "Abba, Father." A new language is now birthed within us. Okay, so we're no longer identifying, okay, with flesh, we're identifying with the archons and with the cherubim, okay, and the ministers of flaming fire, okay, as the Apostle Paul brings out in Hebrews, okay, as concerning and he calls his ministers as flames of fire, and Hebrews 1:7. Wherefore you are no more a servant, okay, under the tutelage of the flesh, but a son under tutelage of angels. And if a son, then an heir of God, which means an heir of the Spirit through Christ, that we would be received into the Godhead. Okay, that we weren't just assigned a portion of land. Okay, that we were assigned to the Godhead. That's why I called sons of God and heirs of God. God, we are inheriting Himself, His divinity. Okay, we are entering back into Him. Okay, because that's where we proceeded forth from Him. Okay, we were being nurtured in the bosom of our Father, eons of ages ago. Okay, if we were to put years on that, it would be without number. You couldn't even put years on it. It'd just be trillions and trillions and billions of years. Okay, okay, that we were being prepared in the thoughts of our Father in His bosom. Okay, and there, okay, every thought that He had, okay, was molding us and preparing us, okay, for the time of our being birthed from Him to be received back to Him again through His Son. Okay, but we had to be put into a dimension of testing. Okay? Whereas in this dimension of testing, He would conceal Himself to see do we love Him for His money, or do we love Him because, okay, of our true love, another way of putting it, okay, true love, which is faith, okay, that which is in faith. Okay, we can see this played out in many soap operas today. Okay, whereas a great prince would conceal his true identity in order to see the heart, okay, of his admirer. Okay, that if his heart of his admirer, if she knew that he was very wealthy, would she follow him for that? Okay, or be joined to him for that? Okay, as an opportunist. Okay, to find expressions for her own aspiration, or will she build his house? Okay, will she be joined to me to build a house, or she's just going to be joined to me in order to take advantage of what I am and use what I have for her own aspiration? Okay, and that's what the mother of harlots does. We see that in the book of Revelation. The mother of harlots has to do with an engagement for aspiration, not in building. Okay. So we are called sons of God because our engagement is for the purpose of building. Okay, that we are as considered children of God because of faith. Okay, faith is that proving ground, and God rewards us for faith. Okay, wherefore you are no more servant but a son. In verse 7, chapter 4, verse 7, and if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. So we can see here that Jesus is the prototype, okay, of our reward and of this gift which He has prepared for us. And that's what Jesus said. Okay, I have prepared a place for you. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. Okay, but I go to prepare a place for you. And if I prepare a place for you, I will come again, receive you to myself. Okay, not the Moses, but to receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Okay, so we are heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. Okay, and speaking in this manner is not blasphemy. Okay, because this is the true order and standard of His own oath. Okay, it is those which are contrary and carnal-minded, okay, that will look at this as blasphemy, okay, because they're denying God His true self, okay, by accepting anything less than Himself. Okay, to speak of as just being counted worthy to enter into His presence, to be a street sweeper on the streets of golden heaven, okay, is blasphemy. Because that's false humility. Okay, because they are trying to take the knowledge of God, okay, and bring it down to the level of their false humility, to bring it into the level of their own understanding, which is false humility. Okay, what they're doing is that, again, is they're expressing their own pride. Okay, speaking in such a manner, that is pride. But speaking in the manner as it should be spoken of okay, as concerning our true inheritance, is true humility. Because when Adam is, and when Adam at his greatness is at his smallness, and when he is smallness, he is at his greatness. Okay? When he speaks in the when Adam speaks according to the flesh, he's speaking from the position of his pride. But when he speaks from the position of the Spirit, he's speaking of as concerning that of his of faith in Him, faith in God. We are in service to God by faith. Okay, the faith, the intuitive faith, is that of pride, the boast of man. Revelatory faith is that of humbleness, because it's in reflection. It requires faith and patience. Okay, patience accompanies revelatory faith. Intuitive faith, okay, is that of projection, of the aspiration, and requires a lot of flesh, okay, in order to project and to bring everything into order of one's concept, okay, the circumstantial. Okay, wherefore you no more servant, but a son of a son, than the heir of God through Christ. They are true inheritance through this pattern. Through Christ is the true pattern, the prototype of a reward. Okay, the prototype of a reward. So you might want to underline the word Christ there and put the word prototype right next to it. Okay, the prototype. Okay. So being a prototype, okay, we will be put into the robes of His righteousness, okay, and sit and seat and be seated on thrones with Him, as He said, "He that overcomes, okay, will I grant to sit with me in my throne? Grant to sit with me, which means to repose in a place of peace and rest. In my throne, which is the light, the intense light of the bosom of the Father." Okay, this is where the power of God resides. This is who God really is. Okay, in the throne. Okay, so he that overcomes will grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and sat down with my Father in his throne. Okay, this is the appointment to those that believe. Now the word believe, which means to acknowledge, to mold with, and submit to. Okay, and we are acknowledging this pattern. Okay, we are acknowledging this pattern, we are submitting to this record. Okay, to acknowledge, to mold with, and to submit to. Okay, so he is creating within us, okay, a likeness of himself, so that we can function in the fullness of that prototype, which he has prepared for us in the bosom of our Father. Okay, this is the inheritance which the Apostle Paul is writing about. Howbeit then, he says, verse 8. See, when you knew not God, that is, when we were when we are under the kingdom of ignorance, why, you did service to them by nature, which by nature are no gods. Okay, so you might underline or highlight the word nature there. Okay, we are walking in rhythm, okay, only with the things of ignorance and darkness and death. Okay, Satan at that time, okay, when we are walking in ignorance, Satan at the time was actually our friend. Okay, because he was providing inspiration for our aspiration, okay, and he concealed himself within our intuitive faith. Okay, and he would flame our aspirations, and he would stand to our principle. Okay, because he's the father of lies. He would stand to our principle, so that we would then at that time war against each other. Okay, not only war against each other, but we also be hostile against God. Okay, and James, the Apostle James, brings that out. Okay, as concerning, woe unto you, adulterers and adulteresses. Know you not that the friendship of the world is the enemy of God? Okay, it's hostile to God, and not subject to God, neither indeed can be. Okay, howbeit then, verse 8, when you knew not God, being ignorant, okay, of this true pattern, okay, of our true birth, you did service, and as we were enslaved to them, the things of the flesh, which by nature are no gods. We are enslaved to the flesh and enslaved in the fear of man. Okay, and we did not know the fear of God. All we knew was the fear of loss, but we did not know the fear of God. The fear of God is only understood in covenant. You can't understand the fear of God outside a covenant. Okay? But the fear of the Lord is to depart from evil, which means by the circumcision of the heart, okay, God removes from us all those false perceptions. Okay, and as God's removing these false perceptions from us, we're gaining new insight. God has given us new eyes to see with, and new ears to hear with, and a heart to perceive with. You did service to them which by nature are no gods. Okay, when we are tethered to the flesh, the moral code, being tethered to the flesh, is tethered to Satan's kingdom and his perception of life. Our whole order of life was, and our behavior was ordered by that perception. And we were, and we are hostile towards God in our ignorance. We didn't even know we were hostile towards God. Okay, but we're considered enemies of God, being children of wrath. But now, Paul says in verse 9, okay, but now, after that, you have known God, that is by this illumination of his grace, and now, or rather, are known of God because of the work of regeneration and our priesthood, how turn you again to weak and beggarly elements? Okay, now he's talking to the Galatians here, okay, which are trying to gain more understanding and insight of God by the doctrine of Nicolaitans. And he calls the doctrine of Nicolaitans weak and beggarly. Because they're weak and beggarly because they're accompanied with death. Baptism, Sabbath-day observation, circumcision and tithing, okay, and the communion of the flesh, okay, are weak and beggarly elements accompanied with death. Okay, now, if you have received grace for your salvation, and if you have known Him, God, grace for growth, why is it now you're turning to a priesthood that's weak? You're trying to gain entrance and intrude, or to empower your intuitive faith, okay, with beggarly elements. You can't do that, okay, because weak and beggarly elements work with intuitive faith. Revelatory faith is a gift to us, the gift of grace. Okay. How turn you again to the weak and beggarly elements, whereunto you desire again to be in bondage? He says, instead of following Christ in his fullness, you're now being reconverted into Judaism. It is not for the Christian to be converted to Judaism. It's for the Christian to convert those of the law into the freedom of his grace, okay, to come into Christianity, not the other way around. Okay, but we can see, as it is today, the doctrine of Nicolaitans has gained a great seat of authority and respect according to the course of this world, according to the prince and the powers of the air. Okay, have gained great respect concerning those things, keeping the people in a state of hostility towards God and towards truth and even towards righteousness. Okay, and then he goes on in verse 10. You observe days and months and times and years as concerning Jewish festivals, baptisms, circumcisions, Sabbath days, and jubilees. And he says, if you observe those things, how can your faith be made perfect? And he says here in 11, I am afraid of you. At this point, are you become an enemy of me too? Because I tell you the truth. Okay. I'm afraid of you, lest I have bestowed upon you labor in vain. In other words, if the foundation I put within you is not being resourced through the priesthood of Melchizedek, then ignorance will blind you and bind you and destroy you. Okay? And therefore, okay, if these things prevail over you, you'll be an enemy of righteousness. Brethren, he says in verse 12, as I'm closing here, I beseech you, be as I am, that is, fully committed to Christ, okay, a life centered upon that which is a rhythm of the Spirit, okay, working with the tools of the covenant through the priesthood of Jesus Christ. Okay, for I am as you are, as concerning a human being, I am as you are, okay, but we are all one in Christ only. And he goes on, in closing, you have not injured me at all as concerning my faith, Okay, but you know how that through the infirmity of the flesh, I preached unto you the gospel at the first. Okay, and my temptation which was in my flesh you despised not, being a human, nor rejected, but you received me as an angel of God, even as Christ Jesus. The knowledge which you have heard of me, okay, which brought you into covenant with God, okay, so moved you at the as the impact of grace upon the heart, that you received me and this knowledge, okay, and in this new covenant, as he says right here, even as Christ Jesus. And we're going to have to stop right there, and we'll pick up again here later.